Thank you, Pastor Ingram, for letting me come and talk to you guys this morning. And it's an honor to teach the Word of God. And it's just a blessing. I get more out of it than what I might be able to give because I study for it. And just to be able to be, when I study for these messages, it puts me at a point where I'm with the Lord every day. So I'm thinking about it every day. And I'm able to concentrate on the Lord Jesus. And every time I give a message, well, I can start out giving the Lord the glory for it. My favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it says all things, not just one thing or another or whatever you have your mind on, but it's all things. We need to give him the thanks and glory every day for things he's given us. And there's another verse I like to read here out of the Bible, too. I'll just read it to you. Psalms 19:14. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and just give you thanks for everything you've done for us and truly been blessed. And Father, just give me the strength and wisdom today to give you the words to give this message and have the people here today that understand it and open their hearts and maybe use this on a daily basis, Father, and give the ones that need it the most and care with them today. So Father, just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's see, we got some visit here today. Brother Van Horn, he's here today with us, so glad to see you today again. And Paul's mother's here today, and glad to meet you and you're here. And it's always a blessing to have everybody here today. And what I'd like to start out is this is a brand new year, 2019. And and I look at the new year as starting over again and give us a time to refresh our the Lord and read the Bible more. And I'm a goal-oriented person. I set goals throughout the year and try to meet my goals, and I've always done that. To look ahead. And I listen to David Jeremiah a lot on the radio, and he's a preacher. He was from Ohio. I've been listening to him probably for 30 years. I used to work at Morton Salt, and I used to work second shift. I'm away, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, on my way to work, I turned him on the radio and listened to him. And here just the other day, and at the end of 2018, just starting this new year, he's talking about how he kept a journal. He kept a journal every year. And at the end of the year, he'd look back and look at the journal and see what happened that year. He found out he wrote in pretty much all bad things. He didn't really look at the blessings. So he decided he's going to start writing down the blessings of what we have. And I thought, you know, that's really a good idea. And I'm going to start doing that also. Write down the blessings. Look at the blessings we miss. And not give him credit for it. Not give him the honor for it. You know, look how many times we had in a car accident or a near miss. Just about a car accident. I said, man, that's lucky. There's no luck to it. God is looking out for it. That's a blessing. If you write down our blessings, we're just closer to him, aren't we? I know my grandson, Al, he's working on an old truck. And just last week ago, Saturday, he lives in Talmadge. He's driving home. He's 17 years old. He's driving home. He just bought this old truck to work on, fix on, just do it. He's driving home. He takes 224 up to 76, going around that curve to get on 76 there. You know, his wheel fell off right there in the middle of traffic. That's a bad area to be in. That's traffic everywhere. His front tire came off, went down the road, and you know, that tire didn't hit nothing. Didn't hit a car. I don't know how he kept it, but the Lord did it. He didn't hit a car. He hit a person. He didn't get hurt. Everything's okay. I mean, that's truly a blessing. So I text him. Yeah, what kids now do days, they text. I didn't call. I just give him a text. I says, Al, now remember that day you and your brother Nick was in my barn, and we prayed together, and he accepted the Lord Jesus that day? I said, he didn't forget that. That's a blessing he gave you today for not getting hurt. He watched over you. All right, so you make sure you pray and thank him for the blessing you have today. And so if you write down these blessings, that keeps us more in touch with the Lord, don't it? Keeps in tune with him. And back to 2018, we had a lot of blessings too, but we also had some bad times, didn't we? This is my message about today is when bad times comes, what do we do about it? And bad times do come. Look what we had in this church. We've had cancer. We had car accidents, brain tumors, high blood pressure, autoimmune disease. And the list keeps going on, doesn't it? We've had all these things happen to our church. And so you wonder why things happen like that to our church. And sometimes we're in the mountains, and sometimes we're in the valleys, aren't we? God puts us there in the valleys for a lot of reasons. He puts us there to give us chastisement, to scold us, doesn't he? He does that sometimes. And it says here, Hebrews 12:6, "For whom the Lord liveth, he chastises and scorneth every son whom he receives." So everybody he receives unto him, he said he chastises us and scorneth. Scorneth is he gives us a whipping for it, don't he? That's what that means. So everybody comes to him, he gives a schooling one time or another. That's why he puts us in the valleys. And so we can learn from the valleys, like small children. That's what we are. We're like small child to the Lord. I don't care if you're 90 years old, we're still a child to him. And so we still need guidance. We still need to be disciplined, don't we? And it says, Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man who God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastising of Almighty." So he does be happy when he scolds us. Like children, you ever see a child raised up in a good family, a good home? Mom and dad really loves them a lot, and the children, they're happy because they're guidance and they teach them right from wrong. When they're wrong, they get them a scolding. Don't they? The child is happy for it. They're happy to have correction. That's what we are too. We should be happy for God loves us so much. He does that. And so some people say, and bad times comes when we're in a valley. And sometimes people say, "Lord, why me? Why that happens to me for?" And we heard people say that before, haven't we? I've said that before, probably. Why did I get sick? Why that happens to me? Why me, Lord? And I say to you, why not you? Why not me? Why not us? The Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for us. He was perfectly sinless. He's no blame at all. But he died for us on the cross. He took our place. We should have been there. So why not us? Why not us? You know, one time here last summer, I had a skin cancer in my face here. And I went to the doctor for it, and he had to go and get it cut out. Went to Medina. And when I was up there, and they cut it all out, and then we had to go sit in a radiating room with a big bandage on our face. And they check it, make sure they got it all. And there were several in this room sitting together. And we all had bandages in different places, you know, so we got to talk to one another. Then in about 45 minutes, they come and get you and see if they got all the cancer out. So I was able to talk to this one man. Everybody left, but just me and this one man stand in this room. I asked him where he's from. He said he's from Medina. I asked him, "Do you have a church you go to?" He says, "No." I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He says, "Sure, go ahead." I said, "If you die right here in this body, if you die right now, where are you going to go, heaven or hell? It's our choice. Do you know where you're going to go?" He says, "No, I don't know. I never thought about it." So I just witnessed to him and told him about the blood of Jesus Christ and how to be saved. And only through Jesus Christ we'll be able to go to heaven. And you know, he thanked me a lot. He said, "Boy, thank you for telling me that." He said, "I didn't know that." He said, "I really glad. Thank you for doing that." But you know something? I thank the Lord for giving me the cancer, putting me there, knowing I was going to talk to him, and to be able to witness to him. You know, that's a little piece of cancer I had. It wasn't no big deal. It was a very, very, very small price to pay. But he put me there. And is able to witness to him. If I didn't have that, I'd never be able to listen to him. And you know, some that man, he might be able to go to the Lord now because I was there. Because the Lord put me in the valley, a small one, compared to what a lot of you has here. We have one guy who goes to our church here, brain tumor. And they gave him 3 weeks to live, his brother Ken Roberts. And gave him 3 weeks to live. He put him in a deep valley. And so through Ken, he was able to witness to a lot of people. You know, the Lord knew then when Ken had that brain tumor, the Lord knew I was going to stand here today and give it his testimony. You know, through his deep valley he was in, can you imagine having 3 weeks to live? I guess he didn't know it at the time, but he did only have 3 weeks. Betty knew about it. She was in a deep valley about it. But through his sickness, how many people heard that testimony? Quite a few people. Quite a few people probably got saved because of that, didn't it? So, but isn't that something though? What we can go through, it's a small price to pay. That was a big price he went through. But actually it might have been a small price to pay what Jesus went through, didn't he? So able to put us in a valley to help other people. That's why God does that. He puts us there to help other people. So that's why I says then this, well, why me, Lord? I say, why not us? Why not you? Why not me? Turn to Luke 13:4. I got to find myself here. And people say, you know, why did I sin for? Did I, why things happened to me? Did I sin? Did I sin more than anybody else here? That's what the Bible says about that. If we sin any more than anybody else, why God did it to us? Luke 13:4, it says, or these 18 whom upon the tower of Solomon fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Was they more sinners than anybody else in Jerusalem? Verse 5 says, tells you, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, and shall all likewise perish. Said the people died. 18 of them fell. The tower fell and killed 18 of them. And he says, did I repent? Did I sin more than anybody else? He says, no. But he says, repent of your sin because you won't perish. You know, then a lot of people say, well, if we have a good God and he is, why did he let people die like that for? Why did he let 18 people perish like that? You know, and I thought about that. And studied with Pastor Ingram, we found a verse. Talks about that. Psalms 116:15 says, precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. Right. So God doesn't look at death as we do. We look at death as sorrowful. We lost our loved one and they're gone from us. But the Lord just called him home, didn't he? He just called him home because he's his child. Of God. And he just called everybody home. You know, I was here at the missionaries a few years ago, came in. And I give this little story about this missionary that was on, and I'd like to say it again here today. Some of you might not have heard it before. There's two missionaries, a man and a wife, was on a missionary field for 50 years. And they spend their adult life as missionaries. And this coming home, they said, we're done. We've been out for 50 years. It's time for us to retire. So they're going back to their home where they lived. They go back on a ship. On the ship they was on, there was a politician on there too. Politician, he was gone for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, for a short period of time. And he looked on the shore. He's going to the shore. There was bands playing. People, they're singing, waving, congratulating the politician coming home. The missionaries looked, and not one person was there to greet them. Not one. And so they got home and got in their little apartment where they lived. And the man, he got pretty sorrowful about it. And he told his wife, he says, people was coming here to welcome the politician here. He was gone for a short period of time, but nobody was here to welcome us home. We've been on the field for 50 years doing God's work, and nobody here was here to greet us. And the wife says, why don't you go pray about it? That's what the Lord says. He went in his bedroom and prayed about it. He came back out. And he's happy. He changed. The wife says, well, what did God tell you about it? He says, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. God's going to give his reward to us when we get home. So that's how God looks at death. He just called people home. So when he puts you in the valleys and takes your loved one from us. You know, I've seen Christians, I heard people in hospitals and nurses say before, when they can tell when a Christian passes away how the family reacts. They don't fall apart because they know where they're at. They miss them a lot, but they know where they're at. Whether they know where they're being saved at or not. So when bad times come, and it does, and remember what we do know. We do know that God loves us, don't he? He loves us. It says, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained the prophet unto the nations. He knows before he's even thought of. He knows before we're even in our belly of our mom. Ain't that something? He knew us. Romans 8:39 says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So nobody can separate us from the Lord. Not no creature, no mountain, nor valleys. And can separate us for the love of God. In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ that someday yesterday is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we have peace in that he does not change. People, we change all the time, don't we? How many times have you had friends before, really good friends, and somehow you parted ways and you're still friends, but you don't see one another. But God's not like that. He's the same every day. He don't change. And we take really good in that he does not change. He's the same. Turn to James 5. Start at verse 13. And so when bad times do come, he gives us a remedy. And when we're in valleys and low places, he just doesn't let it go on our own. He gives us what to do through the word here in the Bible. Ain't that great how he does that, how he helps us so much? He tells us the remedy when you do go through bad times and low valleys. James 5, started verse 13. He says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. And is merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteousness, man, availeth much. Lazarus was a man subject to the like passions, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heavens have give rain, and the earth bound from forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one cometh him, covert him, let him know that he which is covered, the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, I was looking at that, them verses, and I noticed this first six verses where God talked about prayer. He put a prayer in there seven times in the first six verses. So he wanted us to pray, didn't he? Seven is really a significant number. Number seven means completion. God, he made earth in 6 days. And seventh day he rested. So seven is a really important number. So he put that in there seven times. So we need to pray. Pray earnestly. He says, let him pray and pray of faith. And pray for one another. And when we do pray, Jesus is listening, isn't he? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercessions for them. Jesus makes intercessions for us when we pray. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, ye rather, than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. He makes intercessions for us, doesn't he? And in that way, he's taking our prayers and telling the Father in our behalf. How much better can we have than Jesus interceding for us? Our prayers we say, and for the healing. And turn to Romans 8:26. Then save your place on James 2. We'll be coming back to James 2. 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for whom we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us with our infirmities, and we know what we should not pray for, but the Spirit also makes intercessions for us. So we have Jesus and our spirits make intercessions for our prayers. So prayer is important. We don't do that enough, do we? We don't pray enough. I know I don't. For our prayers, we need to be doing that all the time. So, let's go back and take a look again, back at James 5:11. Well, let's examine them verses a little bit more closely here this morning. Back to James 5:11, verse 13. Is any man afflicted, let him pray. And is merry, let him sing psalms. We just went over that, let him pray. That's an important thing. Number 14, it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know how many people knows that we do that, but we do that here. And I since I've been a deacon, we did that, I don't know, four, five, six times. I don't know how many. We do it. We do anoint people with oil. But you have to come to us. It says, is among you sick? Let him call for the elders. We can't come to you as a deacon or a pastor. We can't come to you. Say, can I anoint you? You got to come to us. It says what it says. Let him call for the elders who's afflicted. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. We do that here. And 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and commit a sin that shall be forgiven. And the prayer of faith shall raise them up and be given the sins. And that's what we do here. All the time we pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another, as verse 16. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The eventual fervent prayer of righteousness, man, revealeth much. It says, confess your faults. Faults is not sin. So confess your faults, but don't confess your sins, because only God can forgive your sins. A fault's like when I do my insurance business, when we have car accidents, we get police reports, we look up and say, who's at fault? That's not a sin. But confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, and might be healed. And I want to make sure everybody knows that you're sin, because only God can forgive your sins. Pastor can't forgive your sin. Nobody can, but only God can. And Elijah was a man subject to pestilence and war, and they prayed earnestly that it might rain. Prayed earnestly. That's what we need to do, pray earnestly. In 18, he prayed again. That's what we need to do. We need to pray and pray again. We just can't pray enough. And brother, if any of you do err from the truth and covered him, in 20, let him know that which covereth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and haul a multitude of sins. So when we go to somebody and if they accept the Lord, as he save a soul from death and hide a multitude of his sins. That's what we do. And that's what we do here at Truth Baptist Church on Wednesday nights. And if anybody here today doesn't come on Wednesday nights, you're losing a lot of blessing. That's we do all these things. All these things we just read about, we do these things on Wednesday nights. We pray for one another. We have a prayer list. And we'll pray for you. We pray for other people. We pray for somebody's sins. We pray for somebody to accept the Lord Jesus. We do that every Wednesday night. So if people don't come on Wednesday nights, you're missing a lot of blessings for you and your loved ones. But we'll still pray for you. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, we'll still pray for you. Let us know if you need prayer for you. Let us know if you need to be anointed with oil. We'll do that too. So we do a lot of things here at Truth Baptist Church. Maybe some things people don't even aware of, or some people don't take advantage of. And so we need to be doing that. I come on Wednesday nights. I miss occasionally, but I don't like to, because there's a blessing that I might miss. I'll be given. I want to get all the blessings I can get, because I need them. I need all the help I get. I need all the prayers I can get, because I'm a sinner. I sin every day. That's why I need Jesus in my life every day, because I need him. And I pray to him. In closing, when bad time comes, when we're in valleys, remember that God loves us because he first loved us. He knows before we were conceived. And God makes intercessions for us. When we pray, it's not in vain. He hears our prayers. Jesus made intercessions for us, and God knows it. And God forgives our sins, and God can heal us. We got to pray for it and ask him for forgiveness and healing. And he can heal us. It's up to him how he does it. He can do it through the doctors. He can do it just like this. In a way he does it, he will. So, Father, just pray that people will come on Wednesday nights. That's what I was the main thing I want to get across to there today, is that when bad times come, when there are deep valleys, remember what God loves us and He heals us, and to pray for that. So in closing, I just pray that'll happen, and I hope somebody will get this today, and hope you can use it on a daily basis. And so I just close in just prayer.